As you notice on the screen there, the title of this message is A Hymn of Thanksgiving, Psalm 100. Psalm 140, verse 13, says this, "The righteous shall give thanks to the Lord." There's another verse in Psalms 92, verse 1, it says this, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises to your name, O Most High." Maybe you've come in today thinking, "Pastor Bill, I just don't feel very thankful right now." If you knew what was going on in my life, you would completely understand why. And maybe that's you. Maybe you've had a horrible, no good week. Maybe it was a horrible, no good month. Maybe you'd say, "Preacher, if you only knew, you would know that I've had a horrible, no good life. And I come here not feeling very thankful because of that." How many know of a gal by the name of Fanny Crosby? Raise their hand. You know who Fanny Crosby is? She's a songwriter. She writes songs. She writes poems. Fanny Crosby wrote over 8,000 songs in her lifetime. Some of them we know, and many of them we've sung here. For instance, there's "To God Be the Glory." Or how about "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine"? I love that one. That's a great song. "Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It." "All the Way My Savior Leads Me." And countless others that have been such a blessing to the people of God over the years. What you may not know is that Fanny Crosby was a woman who, by today's standards, could have been a basket case. She could have been a very unhappy, miserable, troubled woman. In fact, had she lived in today's culture, she might well have found herself living on prescription drugs, trying to overcome the things of life. Her father died when she was very young, and she was left to be raised by her mother and her grandmother. When she was just 6 weeks old as a little baby, and as a result of a doctor's careless mistake, she was afflicted with lifelong blindness. Those tragic and traumatic circumstances of her childhood years would have given most people more than enough grounds for a lifetime of self-pity, bitterness, and psychological disorders, driving them to see counselors or psychiatrists. And yet, in her autobiography, Fanny Crosby wrote these words. She said, quote, "It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life, and I thank Him for the dispensation." You see, Fanny Crosby was a thankful woman. She knew what it was to have the attitude of gratitude that we began looking at last Sunday. The doctor who destroyed her sight never forgave himself, moved away from that area. But there was no room in Fanny Crosby's heart for resentment towards that doctor. She said, quote, "If I could meet him now, I would say, thank you, over and over again for making me blind." You see, the blindness that most would have considered an accident or a tragedy or a curse, she considered to be one of her greatest blessings. She actually accepted her blindness as a gift from God. She said this, quote, "I could not have written thousands of hymns if I had been hindered by the distractions of seeing all the interesting and beautiful objects that would have been presented to my notice." She would have been distracted away from that great ministry of songwriting. "Always looking for a season to be thankful," she said. Fanny's first poem was written when she was just 8 years old. And it shows this perspective, even as an 8-year-old, that she had an attitude of gratitude, even as an 8-year-old. It also reveals she is very talented. And she had this attitude of thankfulness all the way up to the point she died at 95 years old. She wrote this as an 8-year-old. Oh, what a happy child I am, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. So weep or sigh because I'm blind. I cannot, nor I won't. The music that she wrote was just the overflow of the expression of a thankful heart to God in spite of the circumstances that she found herself in. And that's the same thing God desires for His children, all of His children. No matter what's going on in your life, physical or financial or circumstantial or family issues, no matter what it is, God says, I want you to be thankful. Thankful to me. Understanding that whatever it is in your life, I've allowed it and maybe even caused it because I'm the sovereign God. In the middle of your Bible, you have God's hymnal. It's called the hymns or the psalms. And we're going to look at one of those this morning. It's Psalm 100. Or we could say, turn to hymn number 100 in your Bible. And it's called in a little inscription underneath the Psalm 100 title, a psalm of thanksgiving. And that's the only one in Psalms that has that title given to it. And so we're going to look at Psalms 100 verses 1 through 5. So before we do, we want to read that. And so you follow along as I read. You can look in your Bibles, which I'd encourage you to do if you have a Bible there, or follow along on the screen. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 5. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. We're going to approach this by looking at or asking four questions. First of all, who is to give thanks? Who is to give thanks? And the answer is in our text. And the answer is, I'll give it to you right off the bat, everyone is to give thanks. It says this in verse 1, make a joyful shout to the Lord. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, here it is, all ye lands. And then down in verse 5, it says that we're to make this joyful shout, we're to be thankful to God, and it's related to all generations. So what God has in mind here is all people of all time who are living in all places are to give thanks no matter what's going on in their lives, good or bad. He wants them to be thankful. It was in 1789, George Washington said this, just the very first part of his speech. He says, by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. And then he says, whereas it is the duty of all nations, all peoples of the world, to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly implore His protection and favor. George Washington himself said, it's the duty of all nations to be grateful to God. I read this last week that there is only 3 nations that have a Thanksgiving Day out of all the nations of the world. And it's Canada, the Philippines, and the U.S. But all other nations, they don't have a day of Thanksgiving set aside to be thankful to God. And it's God's desire that all peoples of all nations be thankful to Him. And even George Washington understood that that was a desire of God Himself. So who is to give thanks? The answer, everyone, no matter where they live, no matter what generation they might be part of, you're to be thankful to Him. The second question that we want to answer is, when we give thanks, who are we to give thanks to? Who are we to give thanks to? Remember this, when you get the opportunity to share your what you're thankful for, and some people do that around their dinner table at home, you know, when they're eating together as families, and we'll, before we eat, we'll say, well, what are you thankful for? Share something that you're thankful for. Sometimes we'll say, well, I'm thankful for this or that or the other. But make sure you do this. I'm thankful for this to God. We're thankful to God for what we have. And we need to express that, not just saying what we're thankful for, but we need to express what we're thankful for to God Himself. So when we give thanks, we are to give thanks to. Notice what it says in Psalm 100. Verse 1 says, shout to the Lord. And in verse 2 it says, serve the Lord. Number 3, know the Lord. And then verse 4, enter His gates. Well, whose gates? Well, the Lord's gates with thanksgiving. 4 times in Psalm 100 we see the word Lord. Notice the word Lord in Psalm 100 is always capitalized. Whenever you see the Lord capitalized in the Old Testament in the Bible, it is the word, Hebrew word Yahweh. That particular word, Jewish word, is a personal, special name given to the Jewish people. And they held it to such specialness that they wouldn't even say it because it was so special to them. And in the process of that, we don't even know how to pronounce it. And so when we say it is the word Yahweh, I understand that that is probably not even close to the way they pronounced His name. And so the word Lord, capital L, capital O-R-D, is always Yahweh. And another way we express that or we translate that is with the word Jehovah. And so whenever you see the capital L-O-R-D, you could plug in there Yahweh or Jehovah is the word that's used there. And so, verse 3, the first part says, know the Lord, or know Yahweh, or know Jehovah. He is God. Yahweh is God. Jehovah is God. And so, know Yahweh or Jehovah. He is, now here's the Hebrew word, Elohim. So literally, the text would say, know Yahweh, know Jehovah, for He is Elohim, is the word that is used there. Yahweh means self-existent one. So know Yahweh or Jehovah, the self-existent one, for He is Elohim. We find Elohim, that word, that Hebrew word, first mentioned in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, what? God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Most Old Testament Bible scholars believe that the word Elohim means to be mighty in strength. So he's saying here, know Elohim, know Yahweh, who is Elohim, or the Mighty One, mighty in strength. Also, it's interesting to note, just for, this is kind of, what is Stuart, how does he put it, FYI? He first said that in a deacon's meeting, I'm going, what? For your information, FYI, just in case you're interested, kind of thing. Elohim, L-E-L, God, or the Mighty One, at the very end of that is I Am. In the Hebrew language, the I Am ending indicates plurality. So it's Elohim ending with I Am, which would be a plural, like we would add an S to it. And so that seems to indicate to most of us that at the very beginning of the Bible, we have an expression of the plurality of God or the Trinity. And so he's saying there, know the Lord, know Yahweh, know Jehovah, who is the self-existent one. For He is Elohim. For He is God. For He is the Mighty One, the Mighty in Strength. There. Psalm 139, verse 14 says this. David said, I will give thanks, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Elohim, the Creator of all things. So that means He's your Creator, and He's my Creator. And so who are we praying to? David says, I will give thanks, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made by Elohim, by God. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So who do I give thanks to? The answer is this, to the Mighty One who's my Creator. I give thanks to the Mighty One who's created all things, and He's my Creator. And so, it's clear that God wants everyone to be thankful to God. And who's the one we're to be thankful to? My Creator. My Elohim. I'm to be thankful to Him for all things. I'm going to ask a question. When an atheist gives thanks at Thanksgiving time, who do they thank? Who do they thank? Psalm 106, verse 1 says this, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. So now, an atheist would have to say something like this, Oh, give thanks to natural selection, for it is good, and its mercy endures forever. Or maybe something like this, Oh, give thanks to the Big Bang, for it is good, and its mercy endures forever, and so on. Oh, give thanks to Mother Nature, for Mother Nature is good and endures forever. That doesn't do it for me. I like what Scripture says. Give thanks to the self-existent one, Yahweh, for it is He who is Elohim. For it is He who is Creator of all things and your Creator and my Creator. So far we've seen, number one, who should give thanks. God wants all nations. God wants everyone, all peoples of all generations to give Him thanks. Not only that, we're told we're supposed to give thanks to this Mighty One, our Creator. Well, how should we give thanks? Okay, we've already seen who God wants to give thanks, and it includes you and me of this generation and this day. And it also says we're to give thanks to Yahweh, to the self-existent one, to my Creator and your Creator. But how should we give it? The answer is found in three words. It's the word shout, serve, and sing. Thank God by shouting, serving, and singing, Psalm 100 tells us. We are to make a joyful shout to the Lord. When was the last time you did that? I'm not talking about the Seahawks football game when they're winning and you give a shout to them. But we're to give a shout to the Lord. It's talking about being willing to raise your voice to God in celebration and thanksgiving for what He's done for you. To raise your voice in celebration and thanksgiving. It says this in Psalm 47, verse 1. Oh, clap your hands, all ye peoples. Shout to God with the voice of triumph. Are you living in triumph today? If you can say, yes, I am, then I would ask, well, triumph over what? A fear, guilt, depression, anger, selfishness, addiction. Maybe you're living in triumph over the powers of darkness in a very real way. Clap your hands and shout to God for that triumph over that victory, the victory over sin. Shout to God, and Psalm 47 says, clap and shout to victory, because God has changed you and is changing you. If you can say, I'm not the same person that I was a year ago, 5 years ago, because God is changing you. Our text says you need to shout to God in thankfulness for His grace and His power and His mercy in your life. Clap your hands and shout to God with the voice of triumph and victory. That's why sometimes when we hear and someone sings a song, or they might say something that you might feel prompted to yell out amen or preach it, or you might be led after hearing a song that's touched your heart. How can you not respond to a song that's touched your heart deeply? One way to do that, all of a sudden someone will just, what are they doing? They're clapping their hands, giving praise to and triumph to God in that song. That's what we're doing when we do that. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, we're to give thanks. And there's another way that we do that, and we do that in service to the Lord with a glad heart. We do that as we serve the Lord with a glad heart. Serve the Lord with gladness, it says. It does not say serve the church with gladness. It doesn't say serve the preacher with gladness. It doesn't even say serve your family with gladness. It says serve the Lord with gladness. When you step out in faith to serve God and do something and do it for Him, you will be able to do it with a glad heart. You'll be able to do it with the right attitude. It's when we start doing it for other reasons, when we start serving the church or serving people or serving the pastor or serving your family, that you might find yourself not too happy about it in serving. But when we realize whatever we do, we are serving Him. At work, no matter what they ask you to do, they might give you the bummer job, the job nobody else wants, and you got to go do that. Serve the Lord with gladness. Because when you realize you're doing it for Him, as a response to the One who has given you victory and forgiveness and triumph, you'll be able to walk over there and empty that trash singing a song, no matter what kind of trash it might be, instead of grumbling and moaning and groaning about it. We are to serve the Lord with gladness. There's something else that we see in this phrase. It also says that this is a choice we make. He's telling us to do something. Not only is it a choice we make, He's not going to tell us to do something we can't do. And so He's saying, you have a choice to make. You can serve the Lord with gladness. And if you depend on Me, I'll give you the strength to do that no matter what. If you choose to serve the Lord, but you're not happy about doing it, then I would suggest this: don't do it until you've adjusted your attitude towards it, to make sure that whatever it is you're doing it serving the Lord with a glad heart. It doesn't matter what it is. You might be cleaning. You might be setting something up. You might be serving somebody in some way. Do it with a glad heart, because you know you're serving Him when you do it. So we will serve the Lord with gladness, it says. And then number three, we will come before His presence with singing. Psalm 68:32 says this: sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord. We're to come into His presence with singing. You know, I get the feeling that God loves to hear His people sing to Him songs of praise and thankfulness. I get that feeling because over and over in scripture, especially in the hymn book here, Psalms, we're told to sing praises to Him. And we're just getting a little glimpse of a few verses out of the book of Psalms that tells us to sing to Him, praises to Him. See, tonight, as we gather around the table, we're going to get the opportunity to do all three. We're going to get the opportunity to do all three. Because we're going to sing some thanksgiving choruses together. So we're going to enter into His presence with singing. Then we're going to give you opportunities to think of one or two things that you're thankful to God for in your life. And so you're going to be able to celebrate and shout those thanksgiving statements. And downstairs, in the echoiness of the building and 100 people, you are going to have to shout it or nobody's going to hear, right? You're going to have to speak up in this celebration of thanks for what God has done for you. Think of at least one thing, a main thing. You don't have to go on and on and on. Think of one thing, two things, and shout it out in celebration to God in the presence of His people. And not only that, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Some of us has already had that privilege, setting up the tables and setting up the chairs and the gals that will be cooking the meal and all that. What would you think if those that did that grumbled the whole time? No, we should be singing praises and do it with a glad heart. And then when it's all done, we start putting chairs away and tables away and cleaning up the mess. That is an act of praise and thankfulness to God. Because He said in this text of thankfulness, serve the Lord with gladness. On Sundays, you're teaching a class. You're playing the piano. You're leading singing. You're taking the offering. You're doing so many things. That's an act of praise and thankfulness to God. But only if you do it with a glad heart. I wonder how many things I have done for God that I had a bad attitude that's not going to wash on Judgment Day. Huh? He says we are to come before His presence with singing. It's so cool to do that sometimes in your quiet time before God. You're reading His Word and then all of a sudden some little chorus pops in your mind and you just begin to sing it. Maybe all you're doing is making a joyful noise. But God hears it and God loves it, no matter what. So the fourth question, the last question is, why are we to give thanks to God? Why should we give thanks to God? Two reasons we find in our text. Number one, because of who He is. Our text says that God is good, merciful, and truthful. It's because He's a good God. He deserves it because He's that kind of God. He's a faithful, kind, loving, forgiving, honest God. He doesn't hold grudges. He doesn't turn away when we mess up. See, what happens is we turn away from Him. But He never turns away from us. He's a good God. Faithful to us, no matter what. So why should we give Him thanks? Because of the kind of God He is. See, all other gods that are created by man in his own mind, they liken that God to themselves. So however they see themselves is a reflection on their God, the God that they think. If they're angry, then their God is angry. If they're not very kind, then their God is like that. See, their gods, the gods of the world, aren't kind, honest, good, and faithful. For instance, in the day the Bible was written, they had a god, his name was Zeus. He was kind of the top god on the totem pole. He was the big dude, as far as the gods were concerned. And he was a jealous and unfaithful god. Can you imagine being all powerful and running around jealous of everybody and everything. What do you do when you get jealous of something? You lash out in anger. Zeus, he had a son by the name of Apollos. Apollos was a very brutal god. You hear of a lot of the things taking place over in the Middle East. Well, that would be a good description of this Apollos god. And then there was the god of Prometheus. Now this god, supposedly, the story goes, stole fire from heaven. And he gave it to man, which ticked Zeus off. He ticked him off so much that he punished Prometheus. And he took Prometheus, chained him to a mountain, and then assigned an eagle to gnaw at his liver forever. How would you like to worship and bow down to a god that would do that to another god? See, this is the kinds of gods that the world, because the reflection of their god is a reflection of themselves. They place them on their god, make their god like them. The god Hermes, well, he was a thief. So why should we be thankful to God? Because of who he is. He's not like Zeus, and he's not like Apollos, and he's not like Prometheus or like Hermes. He's not like the gods of the world. And the people of the world are very fearful of their gods. So we should thank God because of who he is. We should thank God that in a lot of ways he's not like us. That the goal is for us to be more like him, right? Reason number two, because of what he has done. We should always thank God for what he has done. Verse 3, because it is he who made us, not we ourselves. He's the master craftsman. We are precisely what he wants us to be in every way. He made you. And what is even more important and more exciting is he's still making you. We're not done yet. He's still in the process of changing us and making us into what he wants us to be, only if we allow him to do it. And don't resist what he's trying to do. And often he will do that through the tough stuff, through the heartaches, through the trials and circumstances of life that are very difficult. He will often do it that way. Because it is he who made us and not we ourselves. And it's because we are all who know him as Savior, his people, and the sheep of his pasture. We are his sheep and the sheep of his pasture. So it's because of what he's done, because he's made us his own, because we belong to him. See, the bad news is we are sheep. Because if you study sheep, and we don't like the characteristics of sheep, but sheep are timid, fearful, ignorant, helpless. They are in need of care and guidance. And so the scripture likens us to sheep because we're just like that. And we're in need of God's care and God's guidance because we're the sheep and he's the shepherd. See, the bad news, we are sheep. But the good news is we are his sheep. And we are in his pasture. And the scripture calls him a good and not an evil shepherd. So we're his sheep and he's a good shepherd. And that's the good news of the whole thing. And so that means that we can trust and depend on him in everything. So why shouldn't we be thankful? Because of all God is and all that God has done for us. I want to close with this story. There's a story that's told of a man who found a barn where Satan kept his seeds ready to be sown in the hearts of man. The man found that the seeds of discouragement were more numerous than any other seed in the barn. There were many bags piled on top of one another. When he asked around a little bit, he discovered that these seeds of discouragement would grow almost anywhere. When one of the demon beings that he came upon was questioned further about this, he reluctantly admitted that there was one place that the seeds of discouragement could not take root and grow. One place. "Where's that place?" the man asked. The demon replied, "In the heart of a grateful person." See, it's impossible to be discouraged and grateful at the same time. It's also impossible to be materialistic and grateful, or to be proud and grateful, or to be selfish and grateful, or to be bitter and grateful. See, they're opposites. Thankfulness should be one of the distinctive marks that set us apart from the unredeemed world around us. We should be characterized by a thankful people. When we're out and about in the world and everybody starts being ungrateful and critical and murmuring and complaining and on, as God's people, we should not enter into that. Because we can always find something to be thankful for. We can always find someone to be thankful for. There's always someone in this world that's worse off than you. Always. We should be thankful. And these are the four questions that we find answered in Psalm 100. I would encourage you, between now and Thursday, to sit down and read Psalm 100 with these thoughts in mind and meditate on it and become a thankful person. Father, forgive us because sometimes we're not so thankful. Sometimes we can become pretty demanding and sometimes have an entitlement kind of attitude about stuff. And Father, sometimes we can complain about the circumstances of life because they're not the way we would want them to be, but they're the way you've allowed them to be for our good. Help us to be thankful in our trust and dependence upon you, no matter what might happen between now and Thursday, because none of us know. Help us to be thankful in everything because of who you are and because of what you've done. Because as your children, no matter what happens in this life, we're going to heaven. How could it get any better than that? And so, Lord, we just pray that you would just encourage our hearts in this area of thankfulness this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.